Welcome everybody. My name is Hannes Junnila. I've worked with OpenTrip Planner, which is an open source journey planner, quite similar to the Motis project, for almost 10 years now, a bit on and off, so with other projects as well, and for all kind of different organizations, both in Finland and now at the moment in Norway. But before we talk about the project itself, I would like to say a couple of words about Entur. So I don't think Entur is as famous company as some of the other ones that we have today, but it's actually, it used to be a part of the Norwegian State Railway Company, and it was carved out when competition was introduced in the Norwegian railway system. And nowadays it takes care of all ticketing, all public transit timetable information in the whole country of Norway. And we use almost exclusively open source software, at least in our team, which handles the incoming transit data, all the journey planning, all the APIs that we provide for all of the railway companies, all of the other hobbyists that want to have a journey planner API or like a screen at their home, any kind of API, we can provide that. And here in the middle is OpenTrip Planner, which is quite a key component. So first, I will talk a bit about the past. So how did we come here? What was OpenTrip Planner in the origin? How has it evolved over the years? What were some pain points in the history? Then I will spend most of the time with OpenTrip Planner 2, which we released 2 years ago and have since continued to develop. And finally, I will have a couple of minutes to discuss some topics that we will be implementing in the future. But before I start, I would like to see in the audience, how many of you have heard about the project before? Can I have some hands? So about a half, I would say. How many of you have actually tested it yourself? So almost as many, which is a good sign, because I think it's very important for a open source project that it's easy to get going with it. It's easy to take into use. And yeah, as I mentioned already in the beginning, OpenTrip Planner, or OTP, as I will probably reference it, is quite similar project to the Motis project that we have had presenting. So it's a passenger information system for transit data and other multimodal services, and it handles journey planning, but it also has APIs for just querying the data. So here we can see how the number of commits to the repository has been over the years. So it started in 2009 in Portland, Oregon, in the US, and they wanted to build a journey planner that was open source. So they took in people that had been contributing to other libraries or projects that involved journey planning, transit data, other kinds of projects, and took them into the room and said, okay, we'll give you money, just build us this software. And then about a year later, it was put into production. And in 2013, the people involved started a company called Conveyal, which took over the maintenance. But over the years, that company has actually gone more towards the direction of transit analysis, so doing software for the different cities, the different transit authorities, similar to what we actually have already seen today. But in 2013, a really important step was taken. There was a big project with the Dutch government for improving multimodal transit data and real-time data. But at the same time, there was a second project that was included in the bigger Dutch project called R4, which was implementing the Raptor algorithm in a open source. And then it was later rewritten in R5, which is a software by Conveyal. 2016, there was new deployments in Washington, D.C., the New York State, Oslo, Helsinki, so a bit all over the place. And there was some trials with nationwide scaling. But then the project kind of stagnated until 2019, when Entur and Ruter, two Norwegian companies, took over the responsibility and ported over the Raptor algorithm from the R5 project into OpenTree Planner. And then in 2020, we released the OpenTree Planner 2. And here you can see, if I overlay the commits for the R5 project, you can see that, well, it was the project that took the focus in the meantime. So what were the main pain points with OpenTree Planner 1? The core issue is the journey planning algorithm that was selected. So there was a time-dependent A-star search with trip banning that used over the whole network. So both street network, transit network, the multimodal stuff, everything was in the same algorithm. And how it worked is was that you run a search, then you get results, you ban all the trips that you were using, and then you rerun. So it didn't scale that well when you wanted to have more results or a longer or larger graph. And also it was more focused towards research capabilities, but these were then later on taken over by R5, and we removed quite a lot of this from OpenTree Planner 2, focusing on the journey planning part. Also, there was a lack of kind of vision of where it should go, how it should be structured, everything. And also there was development happening in many different repositories, and it was not really well coordinated. So for example, HSL, where the DigiTransit project who owns the DigiTransit project, they have their own fork of the project that has quite a lot of added development, but that has now been mostly ported back to OpenTree Planner 2. So let's take a quick look how it works. I think this is the main difference between OTP1 and OTP2. In OTP1, as I said, all of the routing was done inside one single search. In OTP2, we first get a request from the API. Then we run a street search. It's basically an A-star search, but just with a single mode, or with different modes if you want to have rental bicycle, rental scooters, parking your car, or anything like that. Then we enrich this with flexible transit results for the last and first mile. Then we do a transit search using the Raptor algorithm. And finally, we have two post-processing steps that I will talk a bit about later on. And then we send the result out in the API. So the street search is actually pretty much the same as it was in OpenTree Planner 1. There is some improvements. There is, for example, free-floating vehicles, new types of vehicles, so scooters, real-time parking information, so that if you do a park and ride search, you will actually only be suggested to park at a place where we know that there probably will be space. And also there is improved focus on this kind of quality of the routing. So there is a walk safety score, so that we prefer, for example, walking through nice gardens or other paths that are not next to a big motorway. Yeah, so I mentioned flexible routes. So most of you would assume that this is, or think about this when you think about transit timetables, so that you have fixed set of stops, fixed set of times. But there is many other ways that transit can be structured. So you can have, for example, hail and ride sections where you actually don't have any stops, but you can just flag the bus anywhere you want. Or you can have areas, just one, two, or as many as you like. And the bus will deviate from its pre-assigned route and just drop you home or pick you up from the door. Or it can be a group of stops, some kind of feeder services that take you to the nearest railway station if there is no regular transit in the village. Or it can be as complex services as we like, with any kind of combination. So after we have added the flex results, we do a Raptor search where we insert all the street routing results, all the flexible results, and then we operate only on trips with fixed schedules and fixed stops. So there is actually multiple levels of Raptor. So Raptor is a algorithm that was introduced in 2012 by a researcher from Microsoft Research. And the basic raptor, it has two criteria. So it has arrival time and number of transit, and it departs at a fixed time. Basically, what you do is that you find all of the stops that you can walk to or make the street routing to. Then you board all the vehicles from those stops. Then you alight at every possible stop and find where you have arrived. Then you find all of the transfers from those stops to all other stops, and then you continue this in new rounds. So this finds your results with the two criteria, the one with the shortest arrival time and the one with the least transfers. Then you can run this range raptor, which is basically just running the raptor algorithm, but you start at the minute and then you run it backwards and adding new results to the beginning as you go. And then you get this three criteria result that has the departure time, arrival time, and number of transfers. And that creates this kind of set where you have the departure time, arrival time, number of transfers are all optimal. Then you can insert one or more criteria, like we're talking about that you want to optimize for CO2 usage or wheelchair accessibility or comfort, that you only want to use transit that is not too crowded, any kind of numerical value you can add as a criteria, but that unfortunately has the downside that it quite heavily affects the performance. Yeah, so this is basically how you do. This is the result after one round of raptor search. This is after two, three, you only add a few other leaves, and then the last, you just basically prune the result so that there is some where it's optimal to actually not use a trip with just one transfer, but you need to transfer many, many times. Then we do a process called transfer optimization. And this is especially in the railways, where you can transfer between two trips at multiple stations. And it's actually the end result will be the same, independently of where you transfer. You will get home at the same time. But it might be nice to transfer somewhere where you have a roof over you, or maybe you have, if you have like 1 hour of time, you want to spend somewhere where you have access to a cafe, or then you want to make sure that you have a high probability of getting your transfer, so the one that has the longest waiting time. And a specific type is this kind of back travel that you want to avoid, that if you go from the blue dot to the red dot, you don't want to ride all over to the last stop and then all the way back, because that is most probably quite expensive. Then we do itinerary filtering and decorating. So the aim from the raptor is to get as much results as possible. And then here we can make more intricate comparison between different results. And we can prune results that might be optimal, but are really bad compared to other ones. So for example, you might want to have, or you might have a result where you have just one, like no transfers, but you are expected to walk 45 minutes. And that's not really you probably want to do if you have a possibility to do it in 50 minutes less. Then a big thing in OpenTrip Planner 2 was the inclusion of a separate data model. So prior in OTP1, the data model was based on the GTFS vocabulary, and all the data was imported as the GTFS objects. But in OTP2, we have an internal data model that is built so that we can import transit data from both NetX and GTFS. So it's independent of data source, and we can easily add new data sources. So there was, for example, a Swiss data set that somebody was looking at in importing into OpenTrip Planner. Then something that became really popular is the sandbox extensions. So we introduced a mechanism for plugging in a optional plugin into OpenTrip Planner 2, and this has been really successful with currently 22 different extensions existing. So you can provide new APIs, new data formats, new functionality that you maybe that is maybe not ready to take into the core OpenTree Planner, but there is something that is in the process of development. Or you might want to have some functionality that is custom for your deployment, but you want to make sure that it keeps up to date and that it's maintained, and that if you do some changes in the data model or any code that we have, we will keep those updated. So one extension is that we now have two GraphQL APIs, one that is based on GTFS vocabulary and one that is based on transmodel vocabulary. And you can use import data, for example, in Skåne, in the south of Sweden, they import Swedish timetables in NetX and Danish timetables that they use for trips to Copenhagen in GTFS. And then you can use this unified API where you provide the data in standard format so that if you want to have the results in GTFS vocabulary, you can get that, but you can also get in transmodel vocabulary if you want it. And also GraphQL is really useful for this kind of journey planning purposes, because usually you want to fetch little information about very many objects. And if you have this traditional, very REST pure way, you end up having like hundreds of queries that you need to do. But with GraphQL, you can fetch exactly the things that you need and only those. And that also saves quite a lot of space for mobile apps, where you can limit the number of downloaded bytes. Then we have vector tiles, so you can query all the geometric information that we have, geospatial information, so all the stop stations, rental stations, even individual rental vehicles, car and bike parking, and so on. And you can add real-time information for those so that you can easily show a map where you have like the live availability of all the rental systems. And then one feature that actually we bought back from OTP2 was that that was removed as a sandbox extension, and that is the travel time analysis. And this is a feature that sits somewhere between pure journey planning and pure research applications, because this is really useful for some applications where you, for example, you're looking to buy a house. And you can easily see, okay, like the on the web page of the seller, they can show like this map that, okay, this is the area where you actually can get into with public transit in 15 minutes or by car in 15 minutes or by rental bikes in 15 minutes. So all of this is multimodal, and you can export both GeoJSON, so the borders of the areas, or you can get a GeoTIFF with actual second values of how many seconds does it take to get to this pixel on the map. Yeah. One other big improvement that we did with OpenTree Planner 2 is that we simplified the operations. So OpenTree Planner 1 expected that you always have a local file system and that you always have all the files on the local file system. But we abstracted this into a data source that is can be input or can be output or can be both. And currently we have local file system, so you can still have everything in the local file system if you wish. You can fetch files over HTTPS, and you can load and save data to all cloud storage services, or at least all the major ones, and it's really easy to create your own if you want. Yeah. Also, there is improved monitoring support, so you can get all the timing data of the internal algorithms really easily. We improved quite a lot of the documentation, so you can find the link over there. And actually, with that new configuration structure, this is all that you need in order to fetch all the data and build the graph for the entirety of the Belgian country. So you have four different operators. You just say that these are the paths to these. You can also say if you would have like, for example, the German NetX feed, you could have there as well, and multiple OpenStreetMap files. and with different tag mapping. So different countries have different rules and regulations of whether you are allowed, for example, to walk on a bike path, or if you are allowed to drive on the street if there is a bike path next to it, and so on. And that's why we have this customizable tag mapping, so that each country or even city can have their own rules about how this thing should be mapped. Yeah, then a bit about the future, what we are planning to do next. We of course continue all the time with feature development. So we have built now during the winter via search that was not part of the initial OTP to release, so that you can say that, oh, I want to go from here, I want to go to my hotel, but actually I want to visit this bar in the between. So you can get all the connections that are from here to the bar. Then you say that, okay, I want to spend about 2 hours in the bar, and then you will get the results about 2 hours later from the bar to your hotel. The second one is GBFS geofencing areas, so that you can limit where you can actually use your scooter. If there is some places where you don't, if you can't park it, you will be instructed to actually park it just before the zone starts. Or if you have speed limits, it might be beneficial to drive around those speed limits. Then performance is something that we think is very important. We have been focusing more and more of it, and we started actually measuring it. So we run a set of queries after each commit, and we store them in a Postgres database. And then we have a nice dashboard that where you can go to and see how we have been doing over time. And we have multiple data sets. It's so that if somebody is using this in production, we can add their data set so that they can see how their data set is performing. Because different data sets have quite different performance characteristics, because you might have a very large network, or you might have a network with very strange timing conditions or other things that might affect it. Yeah, we are also working on new internal data model for the timetable data that is better suited for Raptor, that uses a virtual trip for heuristic calculations, so that you don't actually need to do any timetable lookups, and it's better it's more memory efficient. So for example, we noticed that, okay, most timetables actually only operate on full minutes and are less than 4 hours and a quarter, so you can store them in just one date time and an array of bytes. Yeah, and then one thing that is actually touching, there was a question about the international deployment. So we run currently in Norway, we run a Nordic graph that contains data for all the Nordic countries. But we are working on this kind of segmented or tiered model, where we actually separate the transit networks into local and long distance. And then we split those into smaller, and we only take in the routing data that you need for your search. Then there is this competition neutrality. So in Norway, we have commercial bus operators, and we have their data. And unfortunately, they do some awful tricks. So for example, they might schedule a trip that starts 1 minute later than the competitors and arrives 1 minute earlier. And that way, you actually drop the other operator completely from the results. So what we are planning is to add a Raptor criteria, where we have a bit set of the commercial operators used, and that makes it so that we will always suggest all the available options, even though they are not optimal, as long as they use a different carrier. And we are also planning for a unified GraphQL API, where we would have one data model, one structure, but two dialects, one for GTFS and one for transmodel, in order to lower the overhead. So that was it. Thank you very much. I think we might have time for one, two questions. So if there is anybody in the audience. Yeah?
Thank you for the presentation. It was very impressive. Regarding pedestrian routing,
yeah.
Walking inside the stations.
Yeah. So we take the data from OpenStreetMap, and some areas have it better mapped, some have it worse. We also use, if you have in your GTFS, we use this pathways extension, so you can model the inside of the train railway station, and then we just link not the innards of the railway station, but the entrances, and then the inner model comes from the pathways. There is also something similar available in NetX, but that we don't import at the moment. Yeah?
Did I understand correctly that you have demand responsive
yes.
transit?
Also yes. So that is that was the part about the flex search. That is the second part before the timetable. So at the moment, we only use it for first and last mile.
But you only interface with external APIs to do their calculations?
No, we provide, we don't do any availability. So we just say that it might be possible to take this, but you need to plan. But that is something that you can implement in a filter so that the filter actually does the query of, okay, is this possible? And then you can enhance the result with that data. Yes. Yeah?
So very short question because there is no time.
Yeah.
Hi.
If you're okay.
But I will try to be short. So yeah. What's for you international point of view with a different aspect, optimization, cheaper transport, and so speed of transport. With high-speed train between Brussels and Lille, you pay a lot.
Yeah, so...
Yes, when you go with a train and with a pedestrian walk, you have the cheaper solution.
Yeah.
And when with a bicycle, is the optimal solution for me.
Yeah.
Bicycle in the train.
Yeah, but I can just answer quickly that price is something that you can use as a Pareto criteria, but the big problem is that there is so much dynamic fares that exist today that it's impossible to use it because there would be